the message that I was receiving in the church is, it's so beautiful, and because of that, you want to keep it the marriage.
It's worth waiting for.
Exactly. Yeah. And okay. So that was kind of what I came with. So then you can only imagine coming in to our honeymoon to find out that we didn't really have good sex at all. Yeah. And it's kind of trickled into years.
I thought it was my fault, spiritually. Mm. I thought that I was being punished for the years of porn use. And that was in my head.
Wow.
That God is saying, you don't get to experience this. Mm-hmm.
Hey friend, thanks for joining me for this bonus episode of Java with Julie. This podcast is a production of Authentic Intimacy, a ministry dedicated to reclaiming God's design for sexuality. Well, the voices that you just heard belong to Corey and Kayla Morgan. They are my guests today, and they are also board members of Authentic Intimacy. Now, maybe you can relate to the disappointment and the confusion that they felt when sex didn't come easily in their marriage. This week, we're talking through some of the concepts from my new book, God, Sex, and Your Marriage. And Corey and Kayla are so gracious, and I would say courageous, to share their story very vulnerably. They want to give you hope that God can redeem the broken places in your story, too. One thing I really love about this conversation is that you get to hear the real life behind the scenes redemption, including the messiness, the stumbling, and the fact that this is a long journey. I hope it helps you to see how these spiritual ideas that I teach through the book actually play out in real life marriages. We'll do some more of this in our next episode of Java with Julie when I answer some of the questions about sexual struggles that you've sent in through events or via email. And mark your calendars for Thursday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for our live Q&A and book giveaway. On that webinar, you can ask me anything you want about what you've heard over these weeks in our conversation about God, sex, and your marriage. It's free for everyone, and we're going to be giving away a lot of books. But you can't win if you don't join us, so register today. Find the link to register and pick up your copy of God, Sex, and Your Marriage in our show notes or at AuthenticIntimacy.com. Now let's head to the coffee shop for my conversation with Corey and Kayla Morgan. Hey Kayla, welcome to Job with Julie. You haven't been on the podcast before.
I know, I'm super pumped.
Yeah, and your husband Corey has.
Yes, I'm back.
So you're a veteran now, Corey, right?
Well, yeah, I guess if that's... yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. But Kayla, you're the one that actually roped Corey into actually knowing what Job with Julie is.
I did. Mm-hmm.
So thank you. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Yeah, sure. So I remember it was the year 2017. And it actually, I found out about Authentic Intimacy through a conference, a breakout session in a women's conference that I attended. And that breakout session was unrelated to AI, but it was about intimacy in marriage. Mm-hmm. And I was totally convicted, I remember, when I was choosing what breakout session to attend. I knew without a shadow of a doubt I needed to come to this one. But I was terrified, and I was embarrassed to attend. And just to give a little context, like, why I felt this way, and it's going to kind of give context on, like, how I got connected with AI. Me and my husband, we were married in 2014, but before married, we had decided we were going to save ourselves for marriage. We were going to not engage in any sexual intercourse, but to be honest, we were still pretty physical. Like, we really desired each other physically and like very much. And I would say the same with him. So because of that, we were really excited about our wedding night. Mm. And
yes, we
were really excited about, you know, the sexual experience, the intercourse that we were going to have. And to our surprise, I began to experience sexual pain. Mm. And none of it was really pleasurable. But we just kept on doing it because we felt like, when I was hearing from other women, it was just common that initially there's pain. Mm-hmm. But I was just extremely discouraged when I realized that this pain lasted for years until this day. And so now fast forward to this breakout session, I was just terrified joining in. I really thought I was going to be the only one there. But to my surprise, there were plenty of other women there speaking about the topic of sex. And it was there I met a woman, and she told me about Java with Julie. And immediately I began listening. I was intrigued by all of the podcasts, by just how open and authentic you were and the speakers there were talking about just different topics of sexuality, sexual intimacy. And I like to see it as the podcast, to me, it felt like a little treasure chest that I discovered that I could call my own and that I can run to for hope in my situation. And so I loved it because it just spoke to me and my situation. I didn't know that that was out there. Mm-hmm. And shortly after, I learned about online book studies, and I was really encouraged to join because that spark that I got initially with the podcast, I was just like, I want more of that. I want to hear from more women. I want to hear from them. I want to be encouraged by them. I want to learn. I want to grow. Like, I'm ready to grow in this because I see that there's potential hope that I can actually go through this and come out of it and know, you know, with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
And so I was really yearning and craving all of this. And that's how I jumped on. And I've been going, I've attended a couple of online book studies, and, you know, we'll kind of talk about how I got Corey into it. But, you know, I went to several one, and then there was one that I joined, Rethinking Sexuality. They had one for women, and they also had one for men. Mm-hmm. And right away, I was just like, I need to get Corey to join this. Like, he's going to come. Because I have a way with words, and I'm going to convince him. Like,
you're confident in your ability to sell this.
Yes, I knew. And because I feel like Corey, and I, you know, you can speak for yourself too, but I think he also saw just the excitement in my eyes, mm-hmm. and just seeing whatever it is that I'm watching, that I'm listening, it's speaking to me and it's giving me life. And I think that was going to help with convincing him to join the Rethinking Sexuality for Men.
Mm. Okay, so did it work?
Well,
did she convince you?
Oh man, it's funny because I ultimately decided on joining the book study, but again, this whole Kayla, you know, watching Kayla get connected to Java with Julie and authentic intimacy, for me, I saw it as that was Kayla's thing.
Yeah.
And that's what she was using to navigate, you know, her journey through the sexual pain. And I just didn't see myself participating in that. Mm-hmm. I had just no interest, no desire. I had other things that I was trying to focus my attention and energy on. And then when Kayla came to me about this book study, you know, I'm thinking, man, another thing to do during the week. Yeah, so I had no desire to join the study. And the truth is, my hesitancy was mainly because, you know, my experience with Christianity and the topic of sex was always super, you know, just thin. If that's, you know, like, just they never went there. You know, I felt like I'd had deeper sexual conversations with my non-Christian friends than with Christians. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side of that, I just felt like any, you know, what I had received from Christians by and large on the topic of sex was also just kind of like inaccurate, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I was just hesitant. I said, man, what am I going to gain from participating in this? But she's right to say her excitement in this was very compelling. And I knew what it was doing for her as she was navigating her sexual pain. And there was something convincing about how it was affecting her. That was like, okay, you know what? I'll join this thing. This book study, Rethinking Sexuality book study, for men. And, you know, when I read the first chapter, and really there was the first video, and I always laugh when I think about this. I think in the first video or something that I saw, I heard you use the word orgasm, and you used it casually. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's something about this is very intriguing here.
She can't be a Christian, right?
I was like, the fact that she just used this word and didn't flinch when she said it, I was like, okay, you caught my attention. Mm-hmm. And because I was like, man, this is not going to be thin. Mm-hmm. She's going to go there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and I, you know, you did not disappoint. The book did not disappoint. The books, they did not disappoint. And I felt like I started to receive a lot of insight and knowledge about sex and sexuality and intimacy in ways that I'd never received ever. Mm-hmm. In my life.
Yeah.
Just a new, distinct perspective. mm-hmm. That was super fresh. So it definitely worked. I'm really glad that she came to me with that.
Good job, Kayla.
Good job.
And you guys have been on a journey since you were mm-hmm. in the pilot study for the new book, God, Sex, and Your Marriage, which is great to have you in that study. Yeah. One of the first kind of principles in that book is that you don't come to the marriage bed with a blank slate. Like, even as you two decided we're going to save intercourse for marriage, you can start to think, okay, we get to start anew. And yes, you do, but you're starting with your backstory. Right. You're starting with everything you've experienced about sexuality, everything you think about it. How did you experience that early in marriage as Christians who want to honor each other and God? Like, how did each of your backstories really play into some confusion?
I guess I can go.
Yeah.
Well, I started to realize in the marriage, it's funny because before being married, I didn't really stop to reflect and think about how I feel about sex and what God thinks about sex. It was mm-hmm. it wasn't until I got married, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I did know while being married to Corey, there were a lot of things that were very opposite about us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't grow up in a Christian home, mm-hmm. but my family never really spoke about sex.
Mm.
We had to turn away whenever we would watch shows that involve kissing, anything physical, we had to turn away. I remember one time I had a bag of rice and I put it in my stomach just to pretend like I was pregnant. And my mom said, don't do that. That's bad.
Mm.
And I just never really understood why that was bad. And just anything physical, anything that had to do with sex or anything that involved touching that mixed with the emotions was just like, don't talk about it. It's not good. Maybe in marriage it's good, but we're not talking about that. And it's seen as dirty. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I grew up. I looked at as sex as just, it's not something that you do. It wasn't later on until I became a Christian that I saw that, well, you can have sex when you're married. And so it's not that it's completely dirty, but I still came in the seeing those lens of just like, sex is just not good to talk about.
So a lot of shame kind of attached with that.
Say that again?
A lot of shame sort of attached with.
Yeah, I felt like I wouldn't dare explore that
mm-hmm.
topic.
Sure.
Because if I did, I felt guilty, like God is looking at me and I probably shouldn't be talking about this. I should be going to church.
Mm-hmm.
I should be reading the Bible, reading scripture, talking about holier things. I didn't really see sex as something that was holy. So that's kind of how I came into this.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that, Kayla. And I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening who resonate with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that kind of thinking comes from a religious background, but it's interesting that for you it's probably more cultural than religious.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about for you, Corey?
Yeah, well, I mean, my experience is similar to Kayla. You know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. When I was a child, I experienced sexual abuse in my family. You know, I had family members that forced me to watch certain things, forced me to watch them perform sexual acts with people.
Wow.
Forced me to do things with other family members. And this was before I was even 5 years old, just between the ages of 3, 4, 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have that experience, this immediate exposure to sex, even before I have the brain capacity to understand
mm-hmm.
what's going on. And growing up, I mean, if you would have seen me growing up, you would have immediately seen the effects of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in elementary school, I was constantly getting in trouble with teachers for speaking inappropriately, you know, drawing pictures of sexually explicit pictures,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the teachers would look at me and not understand, like, why would you do that? You know, I was just getting yelled at for doing these things. And I couldn't articulate why. I mean, at that age, mm-hmm. I'm in elementary school, couldn't connect those dots. But you know, I even as I continue to get older, you know, I would find myself drawn to like soft core porn type of things, like, you know, Victoria's Secret magazines that I would find in the house, and and I didn't necessarily start really engaging with pornography until I was about 10, 11 years old. I just would fuel that. And then I came to faith when I was 12. And then I also didn't really learn that pornography and masturbation was wrong in the Christian faith until I was about 15, 16, because they didn't talk about it. So I went a few years without even knowing that there was a perspective here. But I was still still deep into porn use at that point. You know, it's just TVs then and magazines. And that just continued to grow. So by the time I got married, still use, you know, still deeply involved in porn use, you know, my exposure to sex was vast, you know. And so there was this clash, I think, not of interest and desire to work with each other and care for each other, but just a clash of expectations. And then also, you know, when we first got married, this was before we, you know, again, we started engaging with authentic intimacy and sex therapy or anything like that. So I didn't even have a framework to understand the challenges that we were facing. You know, this was just kind of like, we're on our own here, you know? So we experienced that early on. And, you know, I couldn't find a narrative within my church experience. In fact, it was confusing what I was getting from the church and damaging. And then when I from the culture, like entertainment and, you know, friends, I was getting other damaging and confusing frameworks, you know? And I felt like, you know, I was thinking about this. If I had to sum up with one word, you know, what I was getting from these cultures and from the traditions from the church was this emphasis on performance. Like from the church, it was perform for God, you know, sex before marriage, clean, you know, white as snow. And in, you know, on the block around people, and, you know, it was, you better be doing a good job at pleasing her and pleasing yourself. It was performance. Everything was performance. And that created this anxiety too that entered into my marriage, where I was always thinking about performance and how do you measure good performance? Well, you measure good performance by intercourse and by orgasms. And so, no surprise, me and Kayla, we get into this marriage, and right with, you know, this sexual pain, it cuts right at the root of my measuring stick for performance, which is intercourse and orgasm. And so, the thought there, the struggle that I have faced, I don't know, it was really difficult. And then I wasn't dealing with porn. I wasn't healing with that. So I would just go to the porn and say, well, at least I'm not cheating. I got porn. So this is a good thing. You know, it's,
and I think I just wanted to add too, because I know I mentioned kind of like my childhood upbringing and not really having a religious background. But then the other side to it is when I became a Christian and I started attending church. That's, I had mentioned briefly earlier that we got introduced to that topic. We started talking about dating, and they didn't shy away from having those conversations of, you know, dating and boundaries. I remember having, you know, just a lot of sermons about that. But for me, the way that I saw it was, from all the sermons that that were compiled, I saw it as sex is a beautiful gift, and sex does connect to God because God gave it to us. And I saw it as just this beautiful thing that we shouldn't just give it to anyone. And I remember every time we would talk about it, I was just like, well, I can't wait to have my husband, because the message that I was receiving in the church is, it's so beautiful, and because of that, you want to keep it the marriage.
It's worth waiting for.
Yeah. And that was kind of what I came with. So then you can only imagine coming in to our honeymoon to find out that we didn't really have good sex at all. And it's kind of trickled into years.
Well, and I thought it was my fault spiritually. I thought that I was being punished for the years of porn use.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, this is... like, I could remember a conversation with my friends and me saying, like, yo, is it possible that God's saying you don't get to have a good sexual experience in your marriage because you did this for so long?
Mm-hmm.
And that was in my head. That was something that I was like, well, it might be possible.
Wow.
That God is saying you don't get to experience this mm-hmm. any longer.
Mm.
And that was early on. And so there was just a lot of confusion, lack of clarity.
Sure.
Just a lot of stuff we were dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. And your description of what you were navigating is really common. And sometimes the pieces are a little bit different here and there, but what you're saying is you look forward to sex with this anticipation and this idea that this is something God blesses, and then it just ends up being a mess.
Yeah.
And there's no solution. To have a problem and there's no solution feels hopeless. So I'm guessing that your interaction with Rethinking Sexuality just kind of gave you the beginning of a picture that at least we know what we can work towards. Is that accurate?
Right. Like, I would say the podcast that I've been listening to, the different online book studies, Rethinking Sexuality, all of these online book studies that I've attended, it gave me, like, the framework. It gave me, you know, we spoke about the biblical narrative and just how God views sex mm-hmm. and that it's beyond just, well, you need to have sex within marriage because that's mm-hmm. just what the Bible says, you know? And so I was able to get, like, that bigger picture mm-hmm. and it really helped because I didn't know the words. I didn't have the knowledge for that. And so I would say for sure it set up a framework that I never had before, and it helped me to see a bigger picture that it's not just a one piece to it when it comes to sex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would say that in my journey through these online book studies, I did find myself wrestling a lot.
Mm.
And it wasn't until my most recent online book study, which was God, Sex, and Your Marriage, that I realized that I was kind of stuck. Mm. And I found out why I was stuck. It started with one of the first online book studies I started with was Finding the Hero in Your Husband.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, I realized that I've been relying my happiness on my husband and on what he can do for me since the beginning of our marriage. And we're going to make 8 years in July. So since the beginning of our marriage, I was relying on him to make me happy. And I did not realize that until I joined that online book study. And I realized that I needed to rely on Christ for my happiness, for my joy, and that was going to relieve me of all this stress of making him perform for me or making him meet to a certain expectation of mine that I unfortunately set up for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to this recent online book study, God, Sex, and Your Marriage, I had this framework. I had a better understanding of God's view for sex. I even knew that my happiness doesn't come from the Lord. Or that my happiness comes from the Lord, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I still felt like I don't believe I truly let go because I still felt stuck. Mm-hmm. And I would receive, I remember, like, going to these online book studies, women are encouraging me and I'm receiving all of this and I still don't feel like I'm able to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I have all this knowledge, but I'm still not able to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I heavily base my sexual experience solely on my sexual pain that I started experiencing in the beginning, then later on to finding out that my husband struggled in porn addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized there was a scripture that was yelling at me that I've read before, but you also spoke about it in your book study, and it's in the God, Sex, and Your Marriage. It's found in Philippians mm-hmm. chapter 2, and it speaks about valuing others above yourself, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And I'll be totally honest with you, Julie, mm-hmm. that did not sit well with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would compare that scripture with the book of Matthew in chapter 22, and it speaks of love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And so I would say to myself, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be first making sure that we're loving ourselves well and then consider loving others in this way? And so I was conflicted, and I wasn't willing to be the first to initiate love to my husband. Yeah. And in spite of the distrust, because I felt like it was needed for me to guard myself from more potential hurt.
I remember you bringing that to group. Like, you were really like, I'm stuck here.
Mm-hmm. And it was in that chapter, the pillar of sacrificial love, that was a game changer for me. Mm-hmm. But I was stuck because I felt like, God, what about me? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm suffering. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm allowing him. If I take the first step to love on him, meanwhile, and I might get a little emotional, meanwhile, I'm watching him watch porn, other women. It feels like he's cheating on me. And even in the midst of that, it was just like, okay, God, so you want me to go through that and still love him the way you love us, the way you sacrificed your life for us on the cross? And that was a real struggle for me. And I felt like I could not move forward because I was not willing to. And it wasn't until I read that chapter that I realized this is why I was stuck. This is why I felt like this was all in my head and it wasn't coming to my heart. It wasn't transforming me because I didn't take that step.
So how did that change your perspective? How did it help you get unstuck?
Yeah, so, well, as you mentioned, this was in the God, Sex, and Your Marriage. We had the group with you, and I brought this up to you, and I remember through this online book study in this chapter, I remember a quote in this chapter, I'm not sure where, but it mentioned that a great sex life is impossible without unselfishness and sacrifice. And you do a really good job, Julie, of just picturing and connecting just us and God and how God is all intertwined in all of this and his love for us. And so as I was reading this chapter, I was deeply convicted because I was able to see how God showed the perfect example of this love through his son Jesus and his sacrifice for us as his bride. That even while we were still sinners, he made a decision to choose to love us and to still die for us. And I was tremendously convicted while reading this chapter and seeing how God is essentially allowing me to go through this in my marriage to see the connection to God pursuing me. And like I said, I was afraid that if I made the first move, my needs wouldn't be met. I wouldn't be cared for. But I remember during this time, God speaking to me loud and clear, letting me know, Kayla, I will take care of your needs. I will love you, and you don't need to worry about being cared for or feeling valued before you can attempt to be kind or loving to your husband, because I got you. Wow. My husband will fail me because he's human, but God will not fail me. And it was there that I realized, Kayla, you need to take the first step. You need to initiate. And I'm so used to, in our marriage, I'm used to being the one sitting back, and Corey has been so accustomed to being the first to initiate all throughout our marriage. So this was big because I had a lot of pride, and I had to say, it's not about me. It's about loving him.
Were you aware that all this was going on when she was going through? You were in the study too. Like, was she sharing that with you?
Oh, yeah. It was a lot because on one end, like, I'm like navigating my stuff, right? And then also seeing her navigate her stuff and wanting to be supportive, but then also having desires. My porn addiction journey, I wanted something from Kayla. I wanted, like, her to be supportive in a certain way. I also was seeing that this thing was also pain for her. That caused a lot of tension for me because I put a lot of responsibility on Kayla to be my source for healing and health and happiness. And so there was a tension as I would watch her navigate this stuff and saying like, but don't you see I have a problem here.
Yeah, and right? You're supposed to help me fix it.
Right, and, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to help me fix it. But then on the flip side, I'm watching her struggle with this reality that I'm facing, and then I'm wanting to help her. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, I can't tell her mm-hmm. about my struggle, mm-hmm. but I want to tell her about my struggle, mm-hmm. but I can't. You know, yeah. So it was this really weird space that I was in as she was navigating that. And so I felt like it was a God moment in the book study that she brought up the question, one, that she was bold enough to bring that up, and then you responded. And the response, like I saw Kayla, like she shifted. Mm-hmm. It was almost like God himself was like revealing something to her, opening her eyes to something. And it was like a weight. I can see it. And so I didn't have any words. I was just watching God do work here.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fascinating to see her come to that revelation.
Yeah. You said you were going through your own journey and the book study was bringing up stuff for you too.
Well, so there was two things that really stood out to me. One was, okay, let's deal with this porn thing, Corey. Mm-hmm. Like, I had not had a framework that was healthy for me at all. And I was carrying so much guilt, so much shame. You know, I'm a musician playing piano. And Saturday, I would, like, engage with the porn. And then Sunday, I would feel like I can't use these hands, right? Like, mm-hmm. It was difficult. Mm-hmm. So the book study, right in the Rethinking Sexuality book study, and then also even more in the God, Sex, and Your Marriage book study, this is what I came out with, that it was safe for me to articulate my porn struggle, that my spiritual struggle with porn, as a porn addiction. Mm-hmm. And that was a big move for me. Mm-hmm. That's a big move. When I talk to other pastors, Christians, there is a reluctancy to call the sexual struggle with porn an addiction. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's something I think that comes across as defeating. Mm. I think when you say you have an addiction.
Well, really two things. First of all, that feeling of admitting helplessness. Mm. You know, it's not just like, oh, I gave in again, but this has a hold on me. Mm. And then for other people, it kind of goes the other way, where an addiction becomes an illness instead of something that involves sin. So,
well, that's the thing for me that was it's so ironic, because that's the thing that was freedom for me.
Yeah.
Because if it's a spiritual struggle, then I gotta fight it.
Yeah.
I gotta pray. So there's this weight and pressure on me
as a pastor, worship leader.
Mm-hmm. As a worship leader, as a Christian in the community, I have to overcome this thing, mm-hmm. me. But if it's an illness. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I need help. Mm-hmm. And that felt encouraging. Mm-hmm. I can't do this on my own. Mm-hmm. If I call this an addiction, then I can say I need help. I need professional help. I'm sounding the alarm. Someone help me, right? Yeah. I have an addiction. And if someone's helping me, then I feel like, oh, like I'm not in this alone.
Yeah.
Man, it was night and day once I felt like it was safe for me, mm-hmm. as a Christian, as a worship leader, as a person in the front, to be able to say, oh, like, it's not just a spiritual battle that I got to fight on my own, but it's an addiction that I can recover from. Mm-hmm. It's a sickness that I can heal from. Mm-hmm. That actually made me feel like I can recover from it, that this doesn't have to be my story forever. Mm-hmm. With the other framework, I felt like I'm going to fight this forever.
Yeah.
Right? And even, I understand there's a nuance there, but for me, the thought that I can recover, I mean, it opened up a door, because now I was going to my therapist, mm-hmm. That I was my individual therapist, and I was saying, we was talking about this language of addiction, and now he started to help me with, well, there's steps to healing from addiction. Mm-hmm. There's a language, there's community, I mean, it was like this open door, you know, this light that went on. Mm-hmm. And that really started with the language that I was getting in Rethinking Sexuality and in God, Sex, and Your Marriage, about how God still loves us, mm-hmm. as we have these health issues, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, oh, okay, like, my relationship isn't fractured because I have a health complication
mm-hmm.
with God, right?
Yeah.
You know, say God still wants to work in me and love me. He's still my dad.
Yeah.
Even though I got something that I'm working through.
Mm-hmm. And if I could just jump in too, this is a piece of it that some people are probably thinking about. Looking at pornography, even though it can have an addiction aspect, there's still an element of good and evil, of sin. You know, it's not just like,
right. Oh,
it's like having diabetes, you know, like, so, and it's still in good therapy and recovery, the integration of God helping, like, you're not alone. You've got brothers and sisters in Christ, but you also have the Holy Spirit.
100%.
So we don't want to say, no, this is,
like,
there is a spiritual element.
It's a both and.
Yep.
And I think for me, I came from a Christian tradition that overemphasized everything in that you face in life was a spiritual battle.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I was even being encouraged not to go to college because they would teach out of stuff that's not the Bible. So I had a Christian tradition that was uber emphasizing spiritual.
Kind of legalism and you've got to overcome sin.
Fundamentalist legalism. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was freedom to know that, I can see this through another lens.
Yeah.
Right. But I also, we can't negate the fact that there is a spiritual dynamic here, right? Mm-hmm. Like in our, and how it affects our relationship with God and what we do. So that was the first thing that was incredibly transformative for me in my journey here. But the other thing was related to my marriage was, this was really hard for me to say out of my mouth as I was processing, but I wrestled deeply. I came to realize through the God, Sex, and Your Marriage book, particularly in that first pillar, that I was wrestling with faithfulness, right? And how did I know that? There was a quote that you said, something along the lines of, you know, hoping our vows echoed the vow that God had made with us, that, you know, he will never leave us and never forsake us.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm honest, that was never, like, deep in my heart, that wasn't really where I landed. There was something conditional, right? And particularly, everything was about satisfaction, personal satisfaction. And so in my head, I was like, man, well, there was always this kind of scenario in my head, well, if there's an opportunity for better friendship, better romance, better sex, better, I don't know, conversation, like in my head, I had to make sure that I wasn't all in here emotionally so that there would still be something left if I needed to get out of this.
Kind of an exit clause, like a contract, the difference between contract and covenant.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's such a, even saying that out loud, I'm just like, oh my goodness, that's so... But it was driven by this fear of, like, if I put everything into this and it doesn't work, like, and I don't get care back, I don't get love back, and I'm going to be crushed.
Mm-hmm.
There will be nothing left to give anything. And so in my mind, I was like, I have to kind of, like, not be all in. I kind of, like, not emotionally. I kind of, like, do enough, but just kind of, like, prepare myself. But that was all emotional and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt God really challenging that in that book. And I really started to feel God call me and starting to say, like, man, I need you to be all in here.
Yeah.
Right? Because something about how I was behaving was, I don't know, it wasn't conveying security in the marriage. And there was a lot of what she was talking about in that book study about Kayla's or my wife's kind of perspective of safety and security in the marriage and the relationship. And I don't know, there was a lot that I felt like I wasn't doing in terms of building trust and my word not being, like, trustworthy. I don't know. So the idea that God was calling me to be all in, and again, not to have this exit strategy, plan B in my mind as a safety measure to kind of get out of this if it's not fulfilling, but to say, like, you know what? It's me and Kayla through the sexual trauma, through the sexual brokenness. It's me and Kayla through the financial issues. It's me and Kayla through it all, period.
Wow. Yeah.
And I don't know that I was so reluctant to be there because it's like, that is scary.
Yeah.
But what I found was, again, you just, the language in the book just gave me assurance, like that there's something good that comes from that, you know? Yeah. And I was like, okay, okay.
You praise know? God. Yeah. I believe so strongly that when we're honest and work on these sexual aspects of our lives, we know God's love more intimately and we become more like him. And the way you both were describing, like God is calling you to know him and trust him and to become more like him. Yeah. And that was like maybe a year ago that you guys went through that study.
Yeah.
And I know you're still on a journey.
Yes.
You know, the message of the book and even the Ministry of Authentic Intimacy is this is a journey. This is not a one and done. It's not a either we're doing it right or we're failing. It's a stumbling towards wholeness.
Yeah.
What has that been like over the last year for you all?
I mean, it's been difficult. It's been really difficult. There have been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of attempts to communicate, to understand. We've gone through a lot. We've gone through sex therapy, which is very helpful, done pelvic therapy to kind of help with the sexual pain. I've gone through so many online book studies through Authentic Intimacy podcasts and all of this. And there were even long periods of just us not having sex. But it's crazy because, like, I want to share just something that is kind of like, I guess you can say like a praise report to kind of say like, even just giving me hope to keep on moving forward. But in the even in the middle of me attending, you know, these online book studies, me feeling sometimes like doubt and discouragement and stuff. And then now after reading the chapter of sacrificial love, like I shared, I knew that my foundation needed to be, needed to rest in Christ, what he did for me. And my trust needs to be in him. Now, I still have sexual pain. We're going to be married for 8 years in July. So there's, I have not experienced sexual pleasure in intercourse specifically, but I'll tell you this much, and this is just another, I know God has a way of just encouraging me along the way, but even just 2 months ago in the month of April, there was just a random night that Corey attempted to be physical with me, and I just kind of kept pushing him away initially, and then until I finally just kind of embraced it and I started to just let go, and one thing led to another, and I kid you not, Corey said this first and I could agree. It was, we had no intercourse, but it was the best sex and sexual experience that we've ever had 100%. In our marriage.
It was intimacy.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, sexual intimacy in our entire marriage. And what was big about that is like we had all this knowledge, we had all this wisdom, we, you know, scripture, and we had the framework about this, but we truly enjoyed the process with no pressure. We enjoyed the closeness with each other, and I felt safe in that moment because even he said he didn't feel pressure, you know, so I sensed like there was no pressure, and that was the beauty of it. It wasn't trying to have an orgasm, it wasn't trying to have sexual intercourse with no pain, which although I believe that day will come and it's going to be amazing. But it's about the intimacy that we can build with one another because of the intimacy that we found in Christ.
Yeah.
So there are definitely several, till this day, several times that I doubt again, that I get discouraged all over again, that we say really hurtful things to each other that open up wounds from the past and past trauma, and just, it makes it hard. And I just wonder if there's still hope. And if this is ever going to change, you know, because it seems like we're kind of going around and we're in the heat of the moment. But what one thing that I've also learned is in all of this, and thank God for therapy, is I've learned I need my space and I need my time with God away from my spouse, because if I speak, it's not going to be edifying. And I'm going to forget that we're actually a team. And therapy has really helped me to know what to do in those moments, how to process my emotions and not see him as the enemy, but rather a human being that's hurt, that's trying to be heard just like me, that wants to be understood just like me. That helps me, just that realization helps me to go back to him and apologize, helps me to take a deep breath and keep fighting, because at the end of the day, this is bigger than us. Mm. This is God's love story, you know, being portrayed in us. So that's kind of what I hold on to, but it is hard.
Yeah. Thank you for being honest. You know, I think so often we hear these stories that end up with the perfect, oh, everything's great now. And that's not the reality for a lot of couples. It is a long journey of doubt and victory, you know, like doubting again, hurt again. Okay, let's, at least we know where healing is found. Let's keep moving forward.
Yeah. That I feel the same. Obviously, like, you know, there's this twofold thing. There's this journey that I have, you know, recovering from the porn addiction and healing even from the childhood sexual abuse. That's just journey.
It takes time.
It is. It is not this thing that, you know, at a snap of a finger, you're this new being, right? I think what I am learning about this process of healing and recovery is that there's a pace to this, right? And it's a long journey. It's like a marathon. But the beautiful thing about this for me has been is that God's my dad. Mm. And he's going to be with me through this process. Mm. Right? And it's like, I think having my son, my 3.5-year-old now, also helped with that, because, you know, he's like suffering from this eczema, like all over his body, and like he tears his skin up bleeding, and so he's harming himself because of this sickness. And I don't look at him with disgust. You know, he's dirty. Like I don't look at him like I want to be distant from him. In fact, I want to run to him. I want to help him more. I have come to this realization that if I, as a human being, right, can look at my son with that compassion, how much more is God looking at me as a person suffering with this addiction and saying, man, this is hurting you, right? We've heard about sexual sin affects your body, right? It's the only one. Man, this is hurting you. This is damaging you. But God's not looking at me like, get away from me, right? And I've said this before. It was like transformative. Like, God doesn't leave the room when you open up the laptop. He just kind of sits there and says, oh, I want to help you. I want to care for you. I want to hug you. And I'm on that journey where, like, I constantly have to remind myself that my dad's on my side, like he's for me, right? Constantly. And then as I navigate my marriage, as we navigate just the intimacy, you know, it's like God gives us these little nuggets, like, you know, see, I'm working here. Like, again, like Kayla did not, you know, exaggerate. Like, I feel like we had the best sex ever. I don't know if I can say that like that on the call.
Yeah,
we had the best sex ever, but it didn't involve intercourse.
Yeah.
Which was, if I mentioned, remember I mentioned earlier, that was one of the main performance measure sticks.
Yep.
Intercourse. Right. And how is it possible that I'm looking at this and I was like, wow, this is amazing. But it's what Kayla's saying is like, there's this connection that Kayla, there's this alignment that Kayla and I have right now with God. It's like this triangle of connection between Kayla, me, and God. And it's like, we're on the same page right now, you know? And so even if things don't always look good, we're on the same page. And that alone is like, okay. Like when things get rough, it's like, all right, well, at least we're on the same page. You know, we're moving together. And that's really encouraging for me to know that we're moving together finally.
Well, that's beautiful.
Well, I hope you found some hope and encouragement from hearing the Morgans share so vulnerably and boldly today. These concepts are biblical, they're solid, but the truth is navigating them in your real-life marriage can be a journey, can be messy, and I'm so grateful for couples that are willing to share what that looks like in their marriage. I'll also mention that Corey and Kayla will be guest speakers sharing their testimony at our Fall Reclaim Conference. That's October 14th and 15th. And you can find out more about that at our website, AuthenticIntimacy.com. You can also pick up a copy of my new book, God, Sex, and Your Marriage, at our website or wherever you buy books. And don't forget to register for our upcoming live Q&A and book giveaway on June 23rd. You can find all of that at our website, AuthenticIntimacy.com, and we'll put links in our show notes. Hey, thanks for listening, and I look forward to having coffee with you next time on Java with Julie.